Praise the Lord. It's a joy to share the Word of God with you today. We're trusting the Lord to give us our daily bread, the provision of His Spirit, to strengthen our lives and to encourage us in the presence of the Lord. The message today is entitled, A Hedge of Protection, A Hedge of Protection. The good news today is that there is a hedge of protection around the people of God. Job chapter 1 and verse 10 says, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, his family, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. You know, I've been rummaging around in the book of Job for a few weeks and really felt a direction from the Lord out of Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Let's read it again. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his family, and around all that he has on every side? These are the words of Satan to the Lord. It says, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. The Lord has a hedge of protection around his people. It's very important for us to receive the promises of the Lord today into our spirit and to say amen to the promises of God. So today I'm going to share a few areas where the promise of God wants to be established in our heart. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jen ministered on glory forever, amen. And she emphasized the word amen in the Word of God, how prolific it is throughout the Word, through the Scriptures, that God many times, as he made statements to his people, he asked them to respond with the word amen. That God would say something and his people were required to say amen, meaning so be it. Truly, verily, this is the truth of God. It's important that we learn to say amen to the word of God, to the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for as many as are the promises of God, as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes in Christ. And through him we utter the amen to the glory of God. The promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And we are the ones who speak the amen to the word of God. It's important that we learn to say amen to the word of God, that we agree with God and confess his word and speak his promises as they're revealed to us through his word. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and many promises. There are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. How many would agree that the promises of God are exceeding great and precious? It says that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, that the life of God would take hold of us through those promises, and that we would escape the corruption that is in the world through ungodly desire and lust. Now God says, my promises are yes and amen. I want you to say the amen. I've already said the yes. Jesus said that he was the amen, Revelation 3:14. Thus says the amen. Jesus Christ is the amen. He's the truth of God, and the promises of God are for our lives. I like to envision that when we say amen to the word of God as it's preached, as promises come, as we read the word, that as we say amen, the Holy Spirit who's writing the scriptures and the word of God on our heart puts a little more pressure on the pen. He inscribes it a little deeper because we're saying amen. Or there are truths that God wants to anchor in our heart like tent pegs. And I think the attending angels, when we say amen, take their little silver hammer and tap a little more firmly on the promises of God, drive them down deeper in our hearts. One of the ways in the Bible that men would establish covenant is that they would strike hands. And you know how that even today, when business deals or certain transactions take place, people shake hands. It's a sign of covenant. They're agreeing. But in Bible days, sometimes it says that they would strike hands. And as we clap our hands to the Word of God, we are giving an amen to the Word of God. I'm striking covenant according to that promise, according to that Word. So this is very important. saying amen to the word of God. We are God's people. He's put a hedge of protection around us. He's given us great and precious promises. We are, as the scripture says, Titus 2:14 and 1 Peter 2:9, a peculiar people, or it means a special people. The modern translations have that. A people specially owned by the Lord, that he has surrounded us. We belong to him. He's taken us out of the nations of the world and said, these are my special people, even as he said of Israel in the old covenant. You are my special possession. You are my peculiar people. And the image that is brought forth in that is that we are like a dot in a circle. We're like the dot in a circle. That's the imagery. That's how we should see our lives. That we are in the center and God has fully surrounded us. It's like we stand in the midst of an army that's all about us, the army of the Lord. And no one can touch us. Nothing can come through to our lives unless the Lord allows. Unless the Lord allows. That is the spirit that we carry because we're a peculiar people. And so the Lord is working to protect us and care for us. Any testing, any trial that comes through, we take it as something that the Lord has allowed so we can be processed, so we can learn how to fight the good fight of faith, so that we can perhaps be a ransom for others as we war in a realm of the Spirit that brings breakthrough for other people and for our families and for the kingdom of God. Only what the Lord allows through comes through. Job chapter 1, have you not made a hedge about him, about his family and all that he has? Thank the Lord for the hedge. But let's look at verses, Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. This scripture shows us that the angels and demonic forces have to give account to the Lord. They don't just roam the world as they want, or angels do what they want. Angels are dispatched, and even demonic powers and Satan have to give account for their activity in the earth. The Chaldee translation says it was at the beginning of the year, and it seems like at least once a year, Satan had to come and report on his duties. He wasn't free to do whatever he wanted. He had to give account to the Lord. Satan also came among them, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. Satan's busy. He has his business among the sons of men, among the nations. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. My intent this morning isn't to speak about the trial of Job or the satanic attack against his life, but to speak about the hedge that's about us. The good news today is there is a hedge of protection around us, around our families, and around everything that we have. The Lord God is a shield. The Lord is a shield for us. He's a shield about us. Psalm 32:7 says that we are compassed about with songs of deliverance. The Lord is about the saints. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord camps round about those that fear him and delivers them. Elisha had a young servant who was extremely distraught one day because he saw enemy forces coming to arrest Elisha. And he was with Elisha, and he was so concerned in 2 Kings chapter 6, but Elisha, the man of God, wasn't concerned about the situation, about those who were coming to take him away. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see.
Open the eyes of the young man. See, Elisha's eyes were open. He'd walked with God for many years and many decades. He had already proven the work of God and the will of God in his life. He saw in realms that young men don't always see. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the young man. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw horses and chariots of fire encircling the city where they were. The protection of the Lord. The Lord is protecting his people. The Lord is looking after us. The Lord's presence is about us on every side. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It doesn't matter how the enemies lurk. There's a wall of protection inside the enemies, and that is the Lord our God. And today we praise him and thank him for his great refuge, his great protection over our lives. Sometimes we listen to the world too much. We listen to the media. Sometimes we walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And there's much that is spoken. And sometimes as we listen to the events of the world and we listen to the chatter of men and women and media who do not know the Lord, sometimes we may come under the impression that we live in the same world they do, but we do not. We're of a different people. We're of a different order. We're of a different kingdom. Jesus said, Father, I want you to guard those who you've given me. Protect those who you've given me in the earth. Keep them from the evil. Keep them so they can share my word. I send them into the world. They are not of the world. They are only in the world. Protect them in the world. We're not of the same manner as other people. We have the Lord our God who fights our battles. We have the promises of the Lord. I kind of feel if I was not a Christian today, I would be like the world is, totally overwhelmed at what's taking place with no answers and no real ability to solve the issues and the problems of the world and life. My, how overwhelming it is. But we who know the Lord know there's a hedge of protection about us. Now, as this word came to me a couple weeks ago, I felt the Lord give me inspiration on three things. That we're not of the world. We're not under the same system. And that number one, we're not under the same healthcare system as the world. We're not under the same healthcare system. Psalm 105, verse 37, when God brought his people out of Egypt, out of the world, when he redeemed them by the blood of the Lamb and made them his people, he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among the tribes. There was none feeble that night as they exited Egypt. The blood of the Lamb brought healing to the bodies of his people. And that covenant of healing was dispensed to them, and they came out strong. They came out ready to march, ready to possess the inheritance of the Lord. The Lord brings us out with silver and gold, and none feeble among the tribes. We know Isaiah chapter 53, which is another further prophecy about the Lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, his dying on the cross. Surely he has borne our griefs. The Amplified adds there, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. And we say the amen to the promise of God. Matthew chapter 8 quotes Isaiah 53 as Jesus was healing the people one evening. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Nobody that night who wasn't healed. On that occasion, he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. The healing power of God. Our Lord is Jehovah Rophe. He is the Lord, our healer. Dr. Jesus, the great physician, the one who walks in our midst and heals us and touches our bodies. He heals all our diseases, Psalm 103 says. These are the promises of the Lord, and we bring them down into our life. We pray them into our spirit. We take the anointing of these promises of God into our life. As I was contemplating this message, I woke up one morning and my mind and spirit were listing the times that God had healed my physical body. 7 times that I know of dramatic, life-changing, miraculous healing power of God in my body that did something medical people could not do. And I was rejoicing in the Lord at his healing. Said, I'm under a different healthcare system. I don't have to listen to all the reports that go out day after day. We listen to the Lord. We pull into the Lord. Now I'm going to balance that off real quick in a moment, if I remember. I go and see my mom and dad every week, visit them. They're 93 and 92 years of age, respectively, and they're in good health. My dad has some knee problems, arthritic problems, and my mom has some dimness of vision, but other than that, they are in great health. I go up to see them and say, how are you doing? They say, we're good. Mom says, great, excellent. I look at my family. I look at my mom and dad. They've never had major sicknesses, never even had major struggles, maybe a minor operation in their lifetime, and how the Lord has healed my mom a number of times as well. And I said to her, I said, Mom, this is just a couple months ago. I said, Mom, look at you. You're 93 years old. I come up here and say how you're doing, and you just say, I'm great, I'm excellent. And I said, you know, it's how do you bring out that spirit? She says, well, the Lord is responsible for my health. And I said, can you say that again? The Lord is responsible for my health. I belong to him. And how wonderful it is to set ourselves into the promises of the Lord. Now, I believe in 3 healing realms: divine healing, doctors, and diet. I believe in those 3 realms. But Dr. Jesus is by far the first and foremost. And when we're facing something in our bodies, we go to the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. We begin to claim the promises of God. We begin to surrender to the Lord and pull those promises of God deep into our spirit. Call for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives. Now, sometimes Dr. Jesus refers us to a doctor in the earth, like he did with me on one very specific occasion. And sometimes Dr. Jesus says, change your diet, as he did with me one day years ago, and it solved the problem that I was facing. Sometimes he says, bodily exercise profiteth a little. He's the doctor. I'm under doctor's orders. People say, do you go and see the doctor? I say, I talk to my doctor every day. I don't miss my appointments. I don't miss my checkups with my doctor. The world is so distraught about what they should eat and what they should drink and what to avoid and the poisons in our food and all the chatter about that. But I like Exodus 23, 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. You shall serve the Lord your God. Make sure you're serving the Lord with all your heart. He will bless your food, your bread and water. He will take sickness away from the midst of you. What a powerful promise of the Lord. How many are thankful this morning that we're under a different healthcare system? Hallelujah. We go to the Lord our God. Number 2, we're under a different economic system. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I say amen to that promise. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. the provision of the Lord for our lives and how the Lord cares for us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the promise of God. That's what we believe. We don't speak unbelief. We don't speak the circumstances. We don't talk like the world does. When we face trial, when we face some lack, we speak the promise of God. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. You know, in Philippians 4:19, which we just looked at, when the apostle Paul said, God will supply all our needs according to his riches, he also said in earlier verses of that chapter, he said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He said, there's times in my life where the prosperity flows, and there's other times where I am under strain and stress and trial economically. He said, I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry. He said, in everything, God instructs me. He said, God instructs me. Don't miss that word. He said, God is instructing me how to be full, how to be hungry. It doesn't matter what I face. That's where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is going to guide me and show me the will for my life. Times of great increase, times of lack, it doesn't matter. I'm under a different economic system. My Father will take care of me. The Lord will guide me. The Lord will provide for me because I'm his child. I'm his servant. I'm under his care. Psalm 37, 23 to 25. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights. God delights in your way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Though he fall, he will not come to ruin. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What a glorious promise. What a glorious promise. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Genesis 22:14. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Meaning in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Where's the provision going to be seen? The Lord said, the provision's going to be seen in the mountain of the Lord. That's where God's provision is for his people. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. We're looking to the Lord for our provision. And then, and only then, do we look out in the economic systems of the world and the vocations and occupations. We are looking to the Lord because he's our provider. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. He's talking about the holy hill of Zion. He's talking about the mountain of the Lord, which in New Testament terms is the gathering of God's people. We've gathered this morning to the hill of the Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, the place where the people gather, Mount Zion, the place where God's church comes together in order to worship and receive from him. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Hallelujah. In the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. As we are in God's presence worshiping and under his word and under his promises, under the power of the Holy Spirit, God is setting things in motion that bring finance and bring occupation and bring blessing into our families and into our lives. How many are glad we're under a different economic system than the world? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, we're under a different education system. Isaiah 54:13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. You should be shouting. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's the promise of God, and I shout amen to the word of God today. Our children will be taught of the Lord. It's a day of darkness in the world. It's a day of evil. But we train our children, and we ourselves don the armor of God, and we teach our children to take up the whole armor of God that they can stand in the evil day, and having done all, they'll stand. Our children are taught by the Lord. Yes, these are days of darkness. There are doctrines of demons. There are immoralities and perversions that are being advanced in the schools and in the colleges. But we do not fear, because all our children will be taught by the Lord. God will separate those who are godly unto himself. They won't be fooled. They won't come under the deception. They will see it more clearly than ever, because they have the Holy Scriptures in them. The Word of God is in their lives. Hebrews chapter 11, 23 to 24. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, a proper child, or he was fair to God, the marginal says. There was a destiny, just like there is on every one of our children. There was a divine will and commission on him. They saw he was called of God, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know what happened to Moses. There was a decree of darkness, just like there is today. The enemy wants to destroy the children of the people of God, because he knows there are deliverers. He knows there are saviors among them who are going to bring life to this planet and lift people out of darkness and trespasses and sins. The enemy wants to destroy the children. He wants to destroy the deliverers of the future. And a decree went out, kill all the children. Kill all the male children of the people of God. I wonder how many parents said, it's not a good time to conceive and have children. But there was a holy family, Amram and Jochebed. They knew there was a name higher than any other name. They knew there was a decree of a king higher than any decree of any ruler of this world. And that he had a blessing for their family, and he had a blessing for their children. And they were not afraid of the king's command. They said, we're going to have a child. We're going to believe God for a child. And they did, and they took that child, and they hid him in the presence of God. But it wasn't long. It wasn't long, and maybe 6 or 7 years of age, or as a young boy, Moses was taken into the courts of the Egyptians with all their idolatry, with all their philosophies, with all their education. But those parents weren't afraid, because the seed of God had been put into that young man's life. And it says when he became of age, he refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. He says, I'm not identifying with the world. It doesn't matter what kind of education I've listened to. It doesn't matter what kind of classes I've been in. It doesn't matter what kind of professors have been speaking to me and trying to persuade my life. Inside is the truth of God. I've been taught of the Lord, and I will stay with the Word of God. Hallelujah. All our children will be taught of the Lord. We need not fear. We need not fear. We have another example in 2 Chronicles 22. Of a wicked queen that rose up one day in the land, and her name was Athaliah. It says, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of praise. All the royal seed of the house of Judah. It says, I'm going to destroy the seed of God. I'm going to destroy the kingly line, and I'm going to reign. I'm going to take over the kingdom. The righteous seed is not going to rule. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. How beautiful is this? And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Wickedness can reign over the land, but there's a place where the royal seed is hidden, and that's in the house of God.
instructed by the priest, instructed by the priest's wife, instructed by those who hold true to the word and the commandments of the Lord. How important it is for us to hide our children in the house of God. It says he was hidden 6 years, and the seventh year he was revealed, and he became king. But I look at these words and think of our life and our situation and our family today. Our children are really only hidden with us for 6 years, aren't they? And then they go into the school systems. Then they go out into the world. 6 years we have our children all to ourselves. 6 years to immerse them in the house of God, to not miss a church service, to not miss a prayer service, to not worship time when the saints gather, because we want our children taught of the Lord. We want the anointing of God, that Holy Spirit oil, to go so deep in them that it protects their life forever. This young son was hid in the house of the Lord for 6 years and rose up to lead the land in righteousness. Hallelujah. And then what about Daniel and his three friends? Daniel 1, 17 to 19. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now these four men, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in their mid-teens when they were ripped out of their land of Judah, out of their homes, out of their godly environment, and taken to the University of Babylon, which was steeped in idolatry, enchantments, astrology. These young men, for 3 years, were under that kind of tutelage. 3 years under that dark realm. But regardless of the learning and the classes that they had to participate in and the knowledge they had to bring forth, they were taught of the Lord. Their spirit was strong in God. Those were merely external things they were learning. They never did take them into their spirit. They held to the Lord. And now when they were in their late teens, maybe 20, 21 years of age, these were young men. Now at the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. The king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel and his three friends, because they had been taught of the Lord. We're under a different education system. We do not fear to put our children into the educational systems of this land because they've grown up in the scriptures. They've grown up in our homes. They've grown up in the house of God under the anointing, under the power of God. And the Spirit of the Lord will teach them and direct them and lead them. I thank God this morning that we're under a different education system and the Lord protects his people. Well, these are glorious and beautiful promises today as we close. Let's stand together in the presence of the Lord. We're under a different healthcare system. We're under a different economic system. We're under a different education system. This morning, pull some promises of God into your heart. How many this morning identify with one of these three areas and say, I need the help of the Lord? I need the help of the Lord. Well, then this morning, say amen to the Word of God. Say amen to the Word of God. Think of your health situation, your body, and ask the Lord for breakthrough this morning. Say, Lord, I know by your stripes I was healed. Touch my body this morning. Make me whole, Father. Raise me up so I can serve you and walk with you. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord my healer. Begin to confess and speak his word over your life. Economically, begin to speak of the Lord, your provider. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. You will care for me. Put complaint and worry away from your lips and your conversation. When with your wife or your family and the pressure's on, instead of going the negative route, say, listen, let's believe God. This is what his word says. Let's say amen to the word of God and trust the Lord in our situation. Let's be faithful before the Lord, that he would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. There wouldn't even be room enough to receive it. Health care and economics and education. Call the protection of the Lord over your family. Pray over your children every night. Read the scriptures over them. Lay hands on them when they're sleeping and speak the word of God over them. Pray over them. Speak in tongues over them. Let the language of the Holy Spirit go over them when they're lying in their beds at night and thank God for his goodness. Walk into their room when they're not even home. Walk into the room and lift your hands and begin to prophesy in that room the goodness of the Lord and of the destiny of God and the greatness of God over their lives. That as they sleep and as they are in their bedrooms, the power of God will rest upon their life and they will be raised up to serve the Lord with full and fervent hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, Lord, haven't you put a hedge around him, blessed him and his family and everything he has? All his substance is blessed and he increases in the land. Yes, because there's a hedge of protection around us this morning. If you'd like prayer for any need this morning, including accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, please slip out from where you are. There's a prayer team that will pray for you. If you need prayer in any area, even the areas I've mentioned this morning, and you want the believers to lay hands on you, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Believers strengthen one another. The gifts of God are given through the laying on of our hands to one another, and blessing comes. If you need prayer, slip out from where you are. But let's all of us this morning take a few moments and confess the promises of God. Let's lift our voices in worship and thank God for the hedge of protection that's about us. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.